Wow. Hey, we're down to the end of the show. Where does the time go? So glad you all joined us here today on the Guy James Show. Hope we informed you, entertained you, and kept you interested. Don't forget, this is a listener-supported program, and
this is the Quality News Network. At Fort Benning, Georgia today, President Bush spoke to an audience of soldiers and their families. There was mostly silence about his strategy of a troop surge in Iraq. Congress is responding to President Bush's address to the nation last night on his Iraq policy, in which he announced an additional 21,500 troops would be sent. Many Democrats and some Republican lawmakers are speaking out in opposition to the president's plan. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said the president stands virtually alone in his decision to escalate the war. In Senate hearings today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice acknowledged the sacrifices made in the war that has gone on for nearly 4 years and cost more than 3,000 American soldiers' lives. In a heated exchange with Nebraska Republican Senator Chuck Hagel, she disputed the idea that Iraq is in a civil war, saying that's just not true. She also did not characterize the 22,000 additional troops as an escalation. Instead, she said it is an augmentation. Earlier, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said over the next 5 years, the overall size of the Army and Marine Corps would need to increase by 92,000 forces combined. The newest AP Ipsos poll finds that only 29% of Americans approve of how President Bush has handled the war. More than two-thirds of those polled disapprove. Furthermore, 70% oppose a troop surge. In the northern Iraqi city of Erbil today, U.S.-led forces took six Iranians into custody. Reports say they were part of Tehran's diplomatic mission. The Kurdish regional government condemned the action and demanded their immediate release. Last night, in his speech, President Bush said he would interrupt the flow of Iranian and Syrian support to Iraqi insurgents. The U.S. airstrike in Somalia did not kill the top al-Qaeda terrorist accused of bombing two U.S. embassies in Africa in 1998, as was originally thought. A senior U.S. official said that up to 10 al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorists were killed, but they were not the most wanted suspects. Those three are still at large. In Afghanistan, NATO says that two large groups of suspected Taliban militants were killed. However, the Taliban says that report is a lie. The insurgents were reportedly crossing the border from Pakistan. NATO says up to 130 militants were killed or wounded severely. And Democratic Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut announced today that he will run for president in 2008. You are listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does
yes.
that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps, because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said today that arthritis and its related conditions cost the nation about $128 billion a year. The agency expects those costs to increase as the U.S. population gets older and heavier. Los Angeles may follow New York City's lead to ban trans fats in restaurants. County supervisors voted this week to study the idea. The House of Representatives passed legislation today that would provide taxpayer-funded research for embryonic stem cells. However, it fell short of the two-thirds 2/3 veto-proof margin. The controversial research is opposed by President Bush, and he has threatened to veto it once again. The Senate will now take up the federal minimum wage bill that passed the House yesterday. It would boost the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 an hour in 3 steps over 2 years. The Democrats may add tax breaks for businesses so that they can stay more competitive. AirTrans Holdings has increased its offer by nearly 18% for rival air carrier Midwest Air Group. It is now offering $345 million. Last month, Midwest rejected a lower bid by AirTran. And Six Flags, the struggling theme park operator, will sell 7 of its amusement parks for $312 million to reduce its debt. Light Sweet Crude trading at $51.88 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is up 69 points, NASDAQ up 26. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard, Foxed Up, here on the Head On Radio Network. And it's, what is it? It's Friday over here. It's probably Thursday where you are. I got some good stuff today, I reckon. Some interesting things on transportation options, Minnesota and the coal industry, and a few other things. And the track of the day today, I usually wouldn't do this, but I'm actually going to play a second track off the same album 2 days in a row. But it's for good reason, and this is a song that goes out to Georgie Boy and his "It's a Whole New Fight, Stay the Course" vibe. What planet does that man live on? It's definitely not planet Earth. I watched that speech yesterday. I streamed it off of C-SPAN. And, you know, I really wanted, you know, a new version of an old cardiac brick. And because I just wanted to throw things. I really, really, really wanted to throw things. You know, it's just more young men and women going over to be slaughtered for control of resources that we're still addicted to. you know, this war is an environmental issue. And I'll have to dig up one day. There's some great satellite photographs. I know that they're back in the archives of my blog at 12harmonic.net somewhere, of the central Iraq, what used to be some of the most fertile fig plantations along, I guess it's the Tigris, and what has happened that you can see from space since 1970. The shots are shocking because you can see just the miles and miles and miles of just fertile land back in the 70s where, you know, they used to grow figs by the millions. And it's all barren wasteland from, you know, decades and decades of conflict. You know, and this time around we've gone and added, you know, depleted uranium to the mix. Like I said, like I've said before, you know, every decision in politics and life is an environmental decision, pretty much. Find very few exceptions to that. And as my producer Agnes chimes in our production chat, everything is dying there, and it is. We're creating a wasteland in the Middle East that is just it's horrible. I mean, this was one of the most fertile places on the planet, and due to battles and proxy wars over the decades, it's gone. And, you know, people would say that it looks like it's been drought afflicted. That's not really what's done it there. It's been war. So, anyway, where do I want to go first? We'll start off with this one. This is pretty good. You'll find a link to a couple of tree hugger stories, and one of them will link you to a website called Freakonomics.com. And they have a piece here saying, "Will the high price of oil make Americans skinnier?" And they say, not because higher gas prices will spur people to walk or ride bicycles instead of driving. Now, I'm thinking it might work like this. Notwithstanding a recent drop, high oil prices have driven a demand for ethanol made from corn. Accordingly, the price of corn is rising fast, with July contracts at $4 a bushel, about 60% higher than last summer. With corn so much more expensive, food manufacturers who use corn in so many forms in so many foods will look for substitutes. As the writer Michael Pollan puts it, corn is the keystone species of the industrial food system. If you are what you eat, and especially if you eat industrial food, as 99% of Americans do, what you are is corn. Because corn was so cheap for so long, high fructose corn syrup has become a common substitute for cane sugar. Pollan and others have argued that corn syrup is a great contributor to national obesity. Already, one boutique soda company has trumped its return to using cane sugar instead of corn syrup. It's better for you, it's better tasting, and overall, it's better for the environment, says the CEO of Jones Soda. So as higher oil prices continue to drive demands for corn-based ethanol, which drives the price of corn higher, which makes cheap corn syrup more expensive, which leads food manufacturers to seek out potentially less fattening sweeteners, will Americans get skinnier? Gonna get you guys on a diet one way or another. As someone, you know, anyone that sees me now has trouble believing this, but I was not always the rail thin kind of twig of a creature I am today. I fought huge weight problems from when I was a kid and a couple of times after that, and I really finally made the connection that it was processed food. That was it. And I have not had a weight problem since. And in this house, we use real butter, real whole, you know, organic milk. and we use lots of olive oil, and we eat well. We eat really well, and we eat, but it's all real. You know, probably the only processed food, anything that you could call processed that comes through here is probably a little ham and bacon, because, you know, it's just, that's one of those things, and a little salami once in a while, but that's it. And, you know, I got no problem having a fat steak, you know, I got no problem doing any of that, you know, and neither of us struggled. Christmas was another issue, we were just pigs. But seriously, I think processed food and the less of it we create, the better. So anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and do a couple more things and do today's track of the day. Another one off of the emotive album from A Perfect Circle. So, you know, we'll do that. Get in on the program by dialing 1-877-443-2366. And we'll be back right after this.
The wind shifted back in the 50s, particles drifted, a wave set in motion, the Pacific Ocean, test of the hydrogen bomb, their sun would come too close to home, ships on the test put to rest and convalesce, with heavily armed guard in Hunters Point shipyard, heavy metal sandblast, base mass deoxidized, remove the radiation from the outside, a hazardous cargo, dumped into the harbor, went father naphtha.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that reached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sia's Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, they did.
You, no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes. It was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds. And we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places. And we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together, we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
radio network, and that bringing us in is the Screaming Jets. And I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag yet because I haven't gotten confirmation, but there may be some disappointing news in the Screaming Jets front. But I've placed a couple of emails to get verification before I let this out, because if what has happened has happened, I'll be a very, very, one, surprised guy, and two, I will be a bit sad because I reckon that they're just a great rock and roll band. But anyway, Gene, our news ninja, hi-ya! Just sent me a story relating to what I was talking about, you know, Iraq and war and everything else. And it says, Iran smog kills 3,600 in a month. It says, air pollution is estimated to have killed nearly 10,000 people in Tehran over a one-year period, including 3,600 in a month, Iranian officials said. Most of the deaths were caused by heart attacks and respiratory illnesses brought on by smog, they said. The scale of the problem led one senior official to say living in the Iranian capital was like collective suicide. Cheap fuel encourages car use in Iran, correspondents say, and many vehicles do not meet global emission standards. It is a very serious and lethal crisis, a collective suicide. The director of Tehran's Clean Air Committee, Mohammad Hadi, something I'm not going to attempt, told the Iranian newspaper, and I'm sorry, sir, a real revolution is needed here to resolve this problem. The said air quality has worsened and was linked to some 3,600 deaths in October. Many of the deaths were caused by heart attacks brought on by the air pollution. That's frightening. That's frightening. So, I mean, if that's what's happening there, you know, there is an unspoken toll in Western society. There has to be. There has to be. I mean, I know there is because I've read the science. But I would think, you know, just to the uninitiated, you should, you know, this should be causing you great concern. Another little thing here from our friends at treehugger.com. They have a little piece here about Minnesota trash talks Big Coal. And, of course, this is going to get my attention. Again, thank you, Gene. Via the Star Tribune of Minneapolis, a State Department of Commerce representative said that plans for a $2 billion coal gasification plant are not yet in the public interest. Being in the public interest calls for the utility, Excelsior Energy, adding CO2 sequestration technology and increased protection against runaway electricity rates. Per the Tribune, the proposals could represent major new costs for the project and limit the ability of Excelsior developers to recover those expenses from electricity customers. The price tag of the power plant could rise by hundreds of millions of dollars if Excelsior is compelled to keep 90% of its carbon dioxide from going up its smokestacks, a company estimated. Specifically, the cost of diverting CO2 created in burning coal, a process that could involve building more than 600 miles of pipelines to ship the gases for underground storage in Canada or North Dakota, could run as high as $891 million and reduce the operating efficiency of the plant by as much as 40%, Excel said in one filing before the PUC. And the columnist John Lawmer at Treehugger just says, wow, we don't reside in Minnesota, so here's our 2 cents worth for the entire coal power value chain. You've been telling us for years how good, quote, clean coal will be. The time has come to put up some serious industry capital down. Pipelines won't get any cheaper if it's just a pipe dream to get taxpayer subsidies for an advocacy campaign, then go build your own gasification plant at the head of that imaginary tube at the center of the earth. Very, very well put. Because if you, again, initiated clean coal and all this stuff that they talk about is still vapor. It does not exist. No one has done it. Clean coal is a lie. It is still just a pipe dream of the coal industry. So again, I push the point that we need to push our leadership wherever you reside on this planet, that the subsidies for coal and gas and oil need to be stripped away completely right now and put into real alternatives: solar, wind, biodiesel. There are things in geothermal. There's a website that I came across, and I want to talk to this guy first, but he has a working design of an electrical generation, solar electric generation, out of just the motion of sea waves, and it's very simple, built with basically just some piping, and it's so simple that you could build a mini model of it in your house that, you know, makes back and forth, you know, maybe a volt. But on a large scale, and this seems to me would be something that would have probably very little environmental impact if set up right. And I think the guy is really basically looking for funding at this point. It's a very, very low-budget website, but he's also got this working model out in a lake, which has almost no wave motion, and it's rocking along, putting out a constant voltage. That one really has me interested, and I'll tell you a little bit more of that and the funny little website that pointed me to it sometime in the future. But anyway, at the moment, we need to get to our track of the day. And yesterday I played that just really, really cool version of John Lennon's Imagine from A Perfect Circle off an album called Emotive, which seems to be one of these records that, you know, it slipped me by, and very possibly people didn't get. And all but two of the tracks on it are basically anti-war cover songs, and they are a bit of a challenge to, on first listen with many of them, remember what song it originally was. And you have to sit there and listen to the lyric and then realize, wow. And they close the album with a Joni Mitchell cover. And I just found this haunting. I finally listened to the whole album yesterday. And wow. Check this out. I don't even know what you could tag this as, but progressive, modern, Celtic? So with Joni Mitchell's Fiddle and the Drum, A Perfect Circle. Roll it, Agnes.
So once again, my dear Johnny, my dear friend. And so once again, you are fighting us all. And when I ask you why, you raise your sticks and cry and I fall. Oh, my friend, how did you come to trade the fiddle for the drum? You say I have turned like the enemies you earned, but I can remember so I ask you please, can I help you find the peace and the star? Oh my friend, what time is this to trade the handshake for the fist? And so once again, oh, America, America, my friend. And so once again, you are fighting us all. And when we ask you why, you raise your sticks and cry and we fall. Oh, my friend, how did you come to trade the fiddle for the drum? You say we have turned like the enemies you've earned, but we can remember all the good things you are. And so we ask you, please, can we help you find the peace and the star? Oh, my friend, we have all come to fear the beating of your drum.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice. Sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Rip, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to Boxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, where we turn the conversation to conservation. And I hope you dug that and that remake of Joni Mitchell. And I, like I said, I cannot believe, and I'm a fan of Maynard and Tool and love the first Perfect Circle. I feel completely remiss that I did not catch this record. It's incredible. I haven't heard cover versions of songs be reworked so drastically and masterfully in a long time.
the version of what's going on is almost unrecognizable except for the lyric, but it's, I don't know, all the versions seem in somehow emotionally more sad than any of their originals, which I think is just, yeah, very cool. Anyway, enough of my babbling. what are we doing? Oh, yeah, we're going straight to the phones because Bob from North Dakota is on the line. Welcome to the show, Bob. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. You know, got some positive little things going on, you know. I have some stuff a little later on air-powered cars. There's an Australian and a French outfit that are doing some very interesting things with compressed air cars.
Good God. You know, John, you were talking about North Dakota, right? And
yeah.
You know, and the funny thing about this high plains that I live on, okay? It's called a high plain, but it's not really flat. We have hills and valleys, just like every other, but it is relatively flat compared to the rest of here. But, you know, there's a silly, silly bunch of people, and they're the coal industry, you know? There's something up here in North Dakota called the lignite coal, you know? And it's the dirtiest coal on earth, okay? And just east of us, you know, they have this huge generation plant where they make electricity, and they ship the electricity out of state. It goes to Minneapolis and St. Paul to light Minnesota's state capital, and you know, and down through the pipeline. And we really don't get any benefit from it, except for Minnesota and you know, sends us a lot of money, right? Well, John, the mercury that is generated from this plant or these plants that they have in the west here, west of Minneapolis and St. Paul, it all goes back to Minnesota, and it lands in their 10,000 lakes. And you know what? You can't eat the fish there because
I remember
mercury.
Half my family's from Minneapolis, St. Paul, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I used to, as a kid, we used to do kind of the annual car trip from New Jersey and go straight through and go to Minnesota and Iowa and go and see the family.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things. You went to Minnesota, you went fishing.
Yeah. But you cannot eat the fish from any of the 10,000 lakes of Minnesota. You cannot eat the fish. They are so poisoned by the mercury that's generated so they can light Minneapolis and St. Paul with coal. So don't, you know, you're talking, you know, stupidity here. You destroyed your whole state. You've destroyed it. You've made it impossible.
I think that's exactly what the point of that piece was, is the fact that, you know, all this hot air about clean coal is still all hot air, and Minnesota's telling this outfit, look, you have to do better.
Yeah, but they got a governor out here in Montana that wants to strip mine the eastern part of Montana because it's all full of lignite coal, and they can send that stuff, and they can poison the planet to more, so that, you know, because he's a Republican, you know, and it's just like that, huh?
Not, I didn't say anything.
They got rid of the Republican. Oh, Glenda just told me that thank God Montana threw the Republican out. My God, I'm just amazed that, you know, there's that many intelligent people in Montana.
Well, and I'll tell you, Bob, one of the things that has been working for the environmental cause here in Australia in politics is the simple fact that a couple of the media outlets, and especially Channel 7 here, made the environment a nonpartisan issue, okay? Right. And because, unfortunately, we still have a lot of, you know, ugly money going to Democrats and
as well as Republicans, and we have not taken the steps that we already could have taken to improve things. So I think one of this is one of those issues.
Are Republicans up here, aren't they?
Well, we have the liberals. We have the liberals who are the Republicans here.
Ah,
and that's confusing.
Yeah, see,
and labor is the Democrats.
That's the rub, see, because they take that idea of liberality turn it and they twist it and they call it something else. You know?
Well, this place is so racist, mate. I would not put it past them that the whole idea of doing that was so that new immigrants, when they came to Australia, that hadn't had time to get their head around the political system, first time they get to vote, they go, well, I'll vote for the Liberal candidate.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, see, they okay. No, that's what I said. There's no such thing as a conservative or a liberal. There really isn't, John.
You know, not today. Not today, there's not.
Absolutely. There is no such thing. There are people on this planet that believe in Gaia, believe in Mother Earth, because we do not, we come from the stars, yes, but we are the spawn of the planet Earth. And Mother Earth gave us birth. Mother Earth is what we are attacking with a vengeance. We're attacking our own creator, which is our planet. We're poisoning our mother, and if we don't stop, she will die and we will die also, because she gives us sustenance. And it's,
you bet, you bet. And Mother Earth will find a way to survive with or without us, you know.
Yes.
And
and she will create another generation of beings that maybe they will be more intelligent or less intelligent. I don't know. But we did not come from Genesis of the gods. We came from the creation of the universe, which happened in a way that we cannot even fathom. We have no intellect. There's no intelligent man on this planet or on any other planet that can tell us how the universe began. They
Absolutely.
Have no idea. So you get some mullahs and some preachers. They're going to give you the answer and tell you that Jesus did it in the cradle at Bethlehem. Come on. You know, like, that's only 2,000 years ago. This planet is about 2.5 billion years old.
Yep.
And anybody that believes differently have their heads so far stuck up their keister that they can't, you know, see nothing but, you know, brown, and they think, well, gee, I don't like brown no more, so, hey, I'm going to be white, okay? But, they, you know, see, that's the problem. See, they see race in color, and color is just the pigment of your skin that the sunlight reflects.
I've had an argument with people, and I stick to this. If you actually go and look at the actual definition of the word race, we misuse the word race in American politics day in and day out, and I sometimes really have to think that it is an intentional thing by those who want to divide us.
You know what, John?
Do this.
No, there is no race. Okay, there's the human race.
Bingo.
Okay? Then there's the canine race, which my beautiful black German Shepherd. He's black. He's blacker than coal, and I love him. He's my darling. He really is. He's black as coal. He was all black German Shepherd. I've never seen. You know, I says, hey. He has more damn pedigree than any brown and tan or black and tan German Shepherd. He's got pedigree to go all the way back to Genghis Khan, and I can prove it. Okay, so let's talk. Let's talk about race. This beautiful black German, and he's black as coal, but he has a heart and a soul and a beautiful dog, and he's. Hey, he's going on 7 months now, I guess. He's 7 months old, and he's getting big.
Right. Right on.
And I will
right
put his black ass on any one of these honky white punk ass pigs that call themselves Republicans in a heartbeat. I'll do it. And then, hey, I'll tell them once, I'll send my dog, and I'll send the dog, and when they reach, I'll pull mine, and I'll drop them in their tracks, because I'm sick to death of these bastards, and I want to fight. And my black dog, he's black as coal, and I love him, because he is black. He ain't brown like the aboriginals of Australia. He ain't brown like the aboriginals of Africa. He's black as coal, and he's as black as my heart, and he has the same spirit I got, and he'll fight these white SOBs, because I may be pink. I may be pink. My skin is pink. It is not white. I'm a pink man, not one of them white honky sons of George W. Bush or daughters. They're just a bunch of...
All right, Bob. I'm gonna have to break here. We're coming up on the end of it, but thanks for ringing in, and you know, maybe some of the stuff with Minnesota might make some changes with what they're doing over there where you are. So
you know what Minnesota is? You know why it's so windy in North Dakota?
Because of all the hot air from Minnesota?
No, because you know what? Montana blows, but Minnesota sucks.
All right, Bob, we got to go. Thanks for that, mate. And all right, we got to take a last break before I come and wrap things up. So, folks, we'll be right back here on the Head On Radio Network. This is John Fox out of Sydney. We'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Ta.
The manray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And, you just never know where a call from Bob's going to go. But, you know, it's pretty sad that, you know, if your state's getting spewed on just so you can keep another state capital lit, that's pretty unfair in my mind. But, okay, before we run out of time, and this we might swing some of this over into tomorrow, because I think this is very, very cool stuff. A French company, and you can find them, they're called MDI, Motor Development International. And you can go to theaircar.com to find these. And it says, MDI introduces compressed air vehicles to the market. MDI has developed a high-performance compressed air technology, which, when it is compared to traditional gasoline-powered engines, MDI's engine is far superior in terms of energy use and thermodynamics. And in an overview of the car, it says the technology that MDI vehicles use is not new. In fact, it's been around for years. Compressed air technology allows the engines that are both non-polluting and economical. After 10 years of research and development, MDI is prepared to bring clean vehicles to the market. Unlike electric or hydrogen-powered vehicles, MDI vehicles are not expensive and do not have a limited driving range. MDI cars are affordable and have a performance rate that stands up to current standards. To sum it up, they are non-expensive cars that do not pollute and are easy to get around cities in. Two technologies have been developed to meet different needs. There's a single energy compressed air engine and a dual energy compressed air plus fuel engine. The single energy engines will be available in both mini cats and city cats. These engines have been conceived for city use where the maximum speed is 50 kilometers an hour and where MDI believes polluting will soon be prohibited. And this is really good forward thinking because you're already having separate taxes in some cities. So you have to pay to be able to drive within, you know, the city center. As they say in London, where you have to pay a fee. The dual engine, on the other hand, has been conceived as much for the city as open road and will be available in all MDI vehicles. The engines will work exclusively with the compressed air while it's running under 50 kilometers in urban areas. But when the car is used outside urban areas at speed over 50 kilometers an hour, the engines will switch to fuel mode. The engine will be able to use, get this, gasoline, gas oil, biodiesel, gas, liquefied gas, ecological fuel, alcohol, and others. The one motor. Both engines will be available in 2, 4, and 6 cylinders. When the air tanks are empty, the driver will be able to switch to fuel mode thanks to the car's onboard computer. Now, they say that you can get by just plugging it into a wall socket, basically, it will compress the air tank, and you get a 200-kilometer range directly off of just compressed air, and they reckon at a fill-up infrastructure station, which would have to be kind of set up, but it would have to be one of the cheapest franchise things to set up in history, you can recharge one of these cars in 3 minutes for a 200-kilometer range. And in the city, it will be as clean as a bicycle. And in the fully air cars, since nothing else is being burned, you only have to change the 1 liter of vegetable oil every 50,000 kilometers. It's like once every 30,000 miles, 1 liter of vegetable oil. I think that's pretty cool. The little cars look quite cool, and they don't have pictures yet, but they're developing taxis, and I reckon that probably you would see these first going out in taxi fleets.
as the taxi fleets in Australia have led the way when it comes to basically having almost entirely liquefied petroleum gas taxi cabs. And, you know, they're full-sized four-door Falcons. And they're also now test marketing in Sydney smaller, actually physically smaller taxis. And they're quite modern looking. I don't remember who the manufacturer is, but the idea was we can, you know, let's see how people accept the idea of a smaller vehicle when you hire a taxi. But it's got a big boot for, you know, a trunk, sorry, for you know, packages and whatnot. But would probably get even better fuel economy. And in a country like Australia, LPG cars are a really, really viable and great option, because Australia has or claims the rights to the largest LPG deposits on the planet. So, you know, I'm going to do some, you know, more research on this, but you can check them out at theaircar.com. And there's also another outfit. This is an Australian outfit called engineair.com.au. You can find them there. And they basically at the moment are concentrating on building just these compressed air motors, and they're completely different. They work on a rotary process as opposed to a piston process. And they're developing these for a variety of uses, not just transportation, where they show them being used in scooters and being used in you know, small car-like vehicles, but they can also be used for industry and can run basically anything that any electrical motor would run. So, I mean, I would have to think that the electricity needed to compress the gas for 200 kilometers would have to be less electricity than a fully electric plug-in car would utilize. Because the claims from the air car people are that you have full torque at just 1 pound per square inch in the tank. Huh? What the? That was amazing to me. And they say that they have all the testing. They've proved that, you know, they can do this, and seems to be safe. And, you know, just imagine any city if you had just, like, you know, how different would the New York experience be if there were, you know, virtually no more petrol-burning vehicles in the city? It would make a huge difference. Just make a huge difference. So there's some food for thought, eh? All right, folks, we're coming up on the end of things, so real quick with the credits. Ben Birch at the White Rose Society, who takes care of all the streaming for The Horn, all of our archives, and Mike Malloy and a whole bunch of other people. He's doing his fundraiser at the moment, so you got to go to whiterosesociety.org and you know, drop the movie tickets this weekend and drop him a buck or two, because he never sends a bill, and we wouldn't be able to do this if it weren't for him. And let's see. Thank you to Agnes, my producer, who still somehow seems to have a mind after, I know, many, many, many sleepless nights with what's going on in West Virginia. Thank you, Bob Kincaid, for announcing this program. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything they do for us. Thank you to our mods and our bloggers. You guys rock. You keep things rocking and rolling on the list. And thank you to Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions for the music, and especially thank you for bringing Emotive to my attention. Just thank you. That's just me and music. I love the stuff. So, folks, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
Rolling. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush addresses the nation in primetime tonight. Mr. Bush will announce his intention to deploy 21,500 U.S. troops to Iraq in support of Iraqi forces. The president will make concessions on certain White House policies regarding the war in Iraq, including his decision to limit troop levels. The new White House plan includes a new spending proposal of $1 billion for Iraqi jobs and infrastructure, plus another $6 billion for the surge in U.S. support troops. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pledging to take a vote on that troop increase. Leaders in the Senate proposed a symbolic debate on the president's plan. Former Clinton White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta insists that an increase in troops, quote, won't work. In Iraq, several influential Sunni Muslim scholars criticize the new White House strategy as ineffective, predicting that many more Iraqis will die as a result. Meanwhile, in and around Baghdad today, 60 more bodies were found, apparent victims of sectarian violence. On Capitol Hill, there's a pending vote in the House regarding an increase in the federal minimum wage to $7.25 an hour. Southern California fire officials continue their investigation into Monday's wildfire in Malibu that destroyed 5 homes and damaged several others, estimated cost standing at $60 million. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez took the oath of office for his 3rd successive term. His inaugural speech included his plans to steer the country towards socialism. In Nicaragua, leftist Daniel Ortega took office again. He has close ties with both Hugo Chavez and the communist Cuban government. U.S. government officials deny U.S. airstrikes this week in southern Somalia, and now there's word from the Somalian government that a senior al-Qaeda suspect was killed by one of those supposed strikes.